Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time, only at Whole Foods Market.
We love to explain quantum physics and the mysteries of the universe, but the mysteries of finance, not so much. Intuit helps you demystify your finances through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Understanding standard deductions or interest rates can be very complicated and tricky, with big potential consequences. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Daniel, how do you like your coffee?
Oh, I like it very dark, basically black.
Mm, what about your chocolate?
Also pretty dark, maybe like 95%.
What about your wine? How do you drink your wine?
Well, I like a pretty dark Cabernet, actually.
Now, are you optimistic about the fate of humanity?
You know, I'll be honest, until we start dismantling more nuclear weapons, I have a pretty dark view of our future.
You're kind of a dark physicist. Maybe you should lighten up a little, you know, try some dessert wine, some rosé maybe, even some white chocolate.
No, man. We live in a dark universe. We're dominated by dark matter, dark energy, and dark chocolate.
You know what Yoda says. Once you go into the dark side, forever your destiny will it dominate.
Do you think Yoda liked dark chocolate?
I always knew you were a dark physicist, Daniel. Hi, I'm Jorge, I'm a cartoonist and the creator of PhD Comics.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I'm a particle physicist and a professor at UC Irvine, and white chocolate is not chocolate.
It is chocolate, Daniel. It's made from chocolate.
Made from chocolate, not the same as chocolate.
You just don't like it. You just don't want to categorize it as chocolate. But scientifically, I think if you ask a, you know, chemist, they would say it's chocolate.
I don't know. I think it doesn't have any cocoa in it. It can't be chocolate. Doesn't taste like chocolate. You know, white chocolate is chocolate the same way deep dish pizza is pizza.
Oh, I see. But you do know it's made from chocolate, right? Like, I think it uses like the cocoa butter from chocolate beans.
Yeah, it sort of like hangs around when chocolate is made and sort of calls itself chocolate. Oh, it's like nearby. It's chocolate adjacent. I'll give it that much.
Oh, man. How can it be adjacent if it comes from chocolate, Daniel? Yeah, I think you're stretching things a little bit here.
My kids are like 80% coming from chocolate, but they're not chocolate, right?
You should be more candy inclusive, Daniel.
White chocolate's delicious. It's just not chocolate.
Well, welcome to our podcast. Daniel and Jorge debate chocolate, apparently, for an hour instead of talking about physics and explain the universe.
In which we explore all the questions out there, the dark ones, the white ones, the milky ones, all the questions of the universe that are rattling around in your brain and in ours. The questions that make us human, the questions that make us wonder why the universe is this way and not some other way. Could it have been this way? Did it have to turn out in this particular manner? What are the rules of this universe, and is it possible for them to make sense to us? And is it possible for Daniel and Jorge to explain them to you in less than an hour?
While eating chocolates, apparently. But only dark or milk. What about milk chocolate? Are you a fan of milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate is chocolate, but I'm not a fan.
Oh, I see. Man, there are different categories here of exclusion for you.
Oh yeah, I got a whole matrix going here.
But it is an amazing and beautiful and sometimes even delicious universe full of amazing mysteries and tantalizing questions to answer and discover out there. And fortunately, humans are here for all of it, to answer these questions and to wonder about the amazing things that are out there.
That's right. And one of the most basic questions we ask about the universe is just, what's in it? What's out there in the universe sharing this cosmos with us? There's this sense that if you could like make an accounting of all the stuff, all the forces and the matter and all the particles in the universe, you'd get a sense for why the universe is the way that it is. The way, for example, if you like looked at the ingredients of a pizza, you can get a sense for like what makes a pizza a pizza.
Yeah, because for thousands of years, we thought that, you know, the stuff that we were made out of was all there was to stuff. You know, the electrons and quarks and protons and neutrons that we're made out of. We thought that was the whole thing that was in the universe. But actually, it turns out that most of the universe is made out of something else, something dark and mysterious.
Yes, and the history of physics is these waves of realization, discovering that we are not at the center of the universe. We are not at the center of the solar system. We are not really at the center of anything. And then discovering that our kind of matter is not even that special, that we make up a tiny little fraction of this incredible universe pizza.
Oh boy, Daniel, are you saying we are universe adjacent? We're not really part of the universe? We're not really universe material?
We're sort of dark matter adjacent, right? We're around when the dark matter formed all this structure. We sort of like, we're followers, but we're not dark matter. Yeah.
Do you think there's some snob gourmet, I don't know, universe eater out there judging us, talking down about humanity and all the stars and planets and galaxies in the universe, saying that's not real universe?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that there are some dark aliens out there made of dark matter with their incredibly dark, dark chocolate made of dark matter. And they're looking at our dark chocolate. They're like, that's ridiculous.
Well, I guess the good news is they're not going to eat us, because if they're snobby about it like you are about white chocolate, that's good news for the white chocolate.
Yeah, here you go. You can turn anything into positive news. I appreciate that.
Yeah, but there is a lot of dark matter in the universe. In fact, it's most of the stuff in the universe is dark matter of the stuff in the universe, I mean.
That's right. Even though we can't see it directly, we can tell that dark matter is there, that it's a thing that is affecting the whole shape of the universe. It affected the universe early on in its little wiggles and jiggles. It affected the formation of structure in the universe. It even shapes how galaxies spin today. So we know that it's there. We know that it's out there. And we know that it dominates the universe in terms of like the budget of the universe is mostly dark matter, not what we used to call normal matter, i.e. us.
Yeah, it's something like, what's the exact budget percentage of dark matter in the universe compared to the regular stuff we're made out of?
It's about 5 to 1. Dark matter to normal matter.
All right. So then that's like 80% of the universe is sort of dark matter?
Mm-hmm, yeah, 80% of the universe. So you could almost neglect our part of the universe and you'd still get a B on your exam.
A B for bueno.
That's right. Bueno baryons, exactly. Yeah, you could ignore all the atoms in the universe and that would only be 5% of the energy in the universe or 20% of the matter in the universe. So in some sense, the question, what is the universe made out of? What is all this crazy stuff? Tells you that what we're made out of is not a big part of it. It's not a central element in the structure of the universe.
Right. And just to clarify, most of the stuff and energy in the universe is dark energy, which is something totally different. But if we're just talking about stuff like matter, things that feel gravity, then most of it is dark matter.
That's right. The matter portion of the universe is about 30%. And of that 30%, 80% of that 30% is dark matter. So of the matter portion of the universe, 80% of it is dark matter.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. It's almost like most of the stuff in the universe is this other stuff called dark matter, but we don't know actually what it is, right? It's pretty mysterious. We only know it's there. We haven't actually seen it directly because it's dark.
Yeah, but it's a great story, you know? I got into physics for exactly these kinds of realizations, discovering that the universe out there is not the one that you thought it was, or that scientists and deep thinkers for thousands of years hadn't known the true picture of the universe. You know, physics is this incredible technique to like reveal the truth about the universe, to methodically build up knowledge and tell us what's actually out there. So for it to discover something shocking, like an enormous plot twist, like, wow, it turns out most of the stuff in the universe out there is something you never heard about or thought about or felt before. That's fantastic. And it's exactly the kind of thing that I hope happens, you know, again and again, overturning everything we thought we knew about the universe.
Yeah, we know you went into physics for dark reasons, Daniel.
That, you know, that hits pretty close to home, given that I grew up in Los Alamos, where they invented nuclear weapons, which are now being used to threaten genocide against civilian populations. So yeah, that one stings a little bit.
But it might save humanity if a meteor ever comes towards Earth and we, you know, break it up with nuclear weapons, then your parents would be heroes.
There you go. All right. So in some scenario, we are saving the Earth instead of destroying it.
You know, you apply the quantum physics principle, you know, it's all true. It's just a different probabilities.
There's a little white chocolate lining to that dark chocolate cloud.
Oh no, that ruins it for you though.
It doesn't taste as good, but it goes down easier. Yeah.
Yeah. So most of the stuff in the universe is made out of dark matter. And so it kind of makes you wonder if that's all that's dark in the universe. Could there be other things in the universe that we're not seeing or that we can't see?
And it's certainly true that most of the universe are things that you cannot see directly. If you look out in front of you, the information that's coming to you is just from photons, and photons can only interact with things that have electric charges. For example, there are particles flying right in front of you right now that you cannot see. Billions of neutrinos coming from the sun, raining down constantly in every square centimeter per second, but they are invisible to you. So the true universe out there, the actual reality of the universe outside your skull, is vastly different from the tiny slice of it that you can see.
Yeah, because if we can't see 80% of the stuff in the universe, it kind of makes you wonder what else it's doing or what else it can do. Like, is it maybe radiating dark forces or dark light?
Exactly, because our kind of matter does all sorts of complicated things. It doesn't just sit there, right? It shoots off photons at each other. It has electromagnetic forces and strong forces and weak forces and forms complicated things like ice cream and pizza and chocolate. And so a natural question is, what's going on with the dark matter? What else can it do? Can it interact with itself in some way?
So today on the podcast, we'll be asking the question, what is dark radiation? Now, Daniel, this sort of sounds like an oxymoron. You know, you're almost asking, like, what is not light, light?
Exactly. But this is the kind of game we play in physics all the time. We don't really know how to grapple with the unknown. So we tend to explore it in terms of the known. Like when we think about photons, we don't really know how to deal with a quantum object. So we say, is it a particle? Is it a wave? It's kind of both. It's kind of the same. It's a contradiction there, right? And so here, that's what we're doing. We're saying, well, we know about photons. Is there like another kind of like dark matter version of the photon? We're extrapolating from what we know into what we don't know.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like the plot device for a great science fiction novel or the next Marvel movie, you know, dark radiation. That's how, you know, Stephen Strange gets his powers or something.
That's right. And if there are like, what, 10 Avengers made of normal matter, there should be like, you know, 40 Avengers made of dark matter. The Dark Avengers.
Oh man, they can make another gazillion dark billion dollars.
That's right. And my 1% cut of that is going to be pretty sweet.
Hopefully not. You don't like sweet things, right?
Oh, dang,
like
it.
Dark chocolate.
Exactly. It'll be pretty dark. Yeah, pile up those dark dollars in my dark bank account.
Only pay Daniel with bitter dollars.
We should start some sort of dark matter currency.
That's right. Dark chocolate coin.
But it is a real question in physics. What is going on with the dark matter? Is it interacting with itself? Are dark matter particles shooting dark photons at each other? We just don't know.
It is a dark question. And so as usual, we were wondering how many people out there had thought about this question or even know what these two words put together could mean. So as usual, Daniel went out there into the internet to ask people, what is dark radiation?
And I'm very grateful to those of you who volunteered to try to answer this question without having the opportunity to look it up or Google or get a PhD in physics first. And so thank you to all of those of you who volunteered. And if you would like to hear your voice speculating baselessly on the podcast, please don't be shy. Write to me to questions@danielandjorge.com.
Has anyone tried that? They're like, oh, that's a great question. Give me 7 years. I'll come back with a PhD and answer it. Or is that what you do to your grad students every day?
Yeah, I take the answers people give me. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea for a project. And then I go write a grant proposal based on it.
Nice. And then you get dark, bitter money for it.
And my grad students spend dark, bitter years working on it.
Yeah, so here's what people had to say.
When I think of radiation, I think of waves being emitted from something. So that could be heat radiation or it could be light radiation. And even when something isn't visible light to humans, radiation, it's still quote unquote light. So dark radiation, I think it has something to do with dark energy, probably.
I have to give all credit to Neil deGrasse Tyson for why I know this, but dark radiation is the mediator of dark matter particle interaction. Say that 5 times fast. The best analogy for it is it's the dark matter equivalent of a photon.
I think dark radiation is radiation coming from dark matter.
Right away, it makes me think of dark matter and dark energy. And I know they both interact with regular matter only through gravity. So I would guess that it has something to do with how dark matter radiates away or evaporates in the same manner regular mass does with like a black hole.
All right. Some pretty good answers here. Mostly questions. I feel like people answered back with some questions too.
Yeah, and people get the sense that it has something to do with dark matter or dark energy, right? Because people have this concept that radiation, energy, and so maybe it falls into the like energy category rather than the dark matter category. So yeah, some great answers.
Yeah, I feel like you've really sort of branded that word dark. Like people automatically, anything you associate with the word dark, people know it's, oh, dark matter or dark energy.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the word dark in physics just means we don't know anything about it. It's like hidden from us, something we can't see. And so like the only relationship between dark matter and dark energy really is that we're pretty clueless about both of them.
Well, my question is, what's going to happen when you do discover what it is and when you can see it? Do you need to change the name?
Oh, that's a great question. It depends, I suppose, on whether it remains dark or not. You know, if we find some way to communicate with the dark sector with these dark particles, then they won't any longer be totally dark. So yeah, I guess it depends specifically on what we figure out about it.
Well, you just said that you call it dark when you don't know anything about it. So if you do know something about it and can see it, maybe you should think about changing the name to like, you know, Jorge matter or Cham matter. Just saying, you know, some suggestions.
We'll put that on the list right next to white chocolate matter.
Yeah, I just realized it's kind of ironic for a guy named Whiteson. It sounds like you have some father issues
there. Yeah, self-loathing matter. That's what it is.
Oh, that's pretty dark.
That's pretty dark. Exactly. I'm going to go eat some more dark chocolate and then I'll feel better.
All right. So Daniel, we're going to answer this question. What is dark radiation? Which is sounds very tantalizing. It sounds cool. It sounds maybe dangerous. Dark radiation. Or maybe dark radiation is good for you because it's the opposite of regular radiation.
It's not like anti-radiation. I like that. What you need is a dose of dark radiation. That'll cure Peter Parker, right? He'll no longer be Spider-Man.
He'll suck the you know, damage right out of you.
No, dark radiation is an analog to radiation, but in dark matter. So in our kind of matter, we have, you know, electrons and quarks, and they can radiate things like photons because there are forces between these particles. And so dark radiation would imagine that between dark matter particles, there might be some new dark force, and that new dark force would be capable of generating dark radiation.
But, you know, I think technically in physics, you use the word radiation for basically any particle, any quantum particle moving in a quantum field, right? I think isn't that the technical definition?
Unfortunately, we're not totally consistent when we talk about radiation. When we talk about radiation sort of chemically, like what is producing radiation, that can include things like photons, but also, as you say, high energy particles. Here, when we talk about radiation and we distinguish it from matter, we're talking about the particles that are associated with forces, rather than the particles that are associated with matter. So for example, a photon would be radiation, whereas a quark would be matter. Even if a quark moving at high speed, a chemist would call it radiation.
Oh, I see. So if we're going with the chemist definition, then radiation is just any particle moving, kind of. But if you're going with the Daniel interpretation here, radiation just means a force particle, or like a particle associated with a force moving through space. The idea is that maybe dark matter also produces dark radiation?
That's the idea. And it's a really interesting area to study because, you know, we don't know what's going on with dark matter. We just know that there's a lot of it in the universe. But it's tempting to extrapolate from the kind of matter that we have, right? The kind of matter we have does all sorts of interesting, crazy stuff. It feels forces. It forms complex objects like ice cream and chocolate and pizza. So we don't know what's going on with the dark matter. There's various possibilities all the way from like it's totally inert. It feels no forces. It just sort of sits there and feels gravity. Two, it has like 75 new forces we haven't even imagined. They're capable of forming intricate, complex things that would blow our minds. And in that scenario, those forces would be mediated by dark particles. And so those would be dark radiation.
Right, because I think all we know about dark matter is that it sort of looks like it's a big, giant, fuzzy clump. But that's just what we can see of it. You know, it could be something really detailed and organized, we just have a very unfocused view of it.
That's right. And that's because so far, our only way to learn things about dark matter, to interact with dark matter, so as to figure out like where it is and what it's doing, is through gravity. And gravity is the weakest force in the universe we've discovered. And not by a little bit, but by like 10 to the 36. It's like super duper crazy weak. So it's like trying to look at dark matter, but you're looking through very, very dark glasses. So you can just barely see it. You can only see huge clumps of it. And that gives us a very fuzzy view of what's going on.
Wait, the glasses are made out of dark matter? I'm a little confused here.
They filter dark radiation.
I think you mean like fuzzy glasses.
Yeah, more sure. Like, fuzzy right? glasses. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe for the people who are not familiar with dark matter, maybe give us a quick refresher of what it is and how we know it's there.
So we don't know that much about dark matter, but we do know that it makes up most of the stuff in the universe. And it's some kind of matter, by which we mean that it provides gravity. And, you know, we invented the idea of dark matter to explain why there was gravity in the universe that we couldn't otherwise explain. So, for example, we see that galaxies are rotating really, really fast, and there's apparently enough gravity to hold them together to keep the stars from going out into interstellar space, being tossed out. But we can't explain where that gravity is coming from. So we say probably dark matter. And if we want to understand the structure of the universe, how it got to have these galaxies and these superclusters and all of this stuff, if you run a simulation of the universe without dark matter, then it just doesn't form galaxies and stars this quickly. You need more gravity to pull that stuff together. So we need dark matter not just to explain how galaxies are spinning, but also the whole structure of the universe. And if we look in the very early, very beginnings of the universe, and we see like how wiggles in the first plasma of the universe formed and how those wiggles propagated, they don't really make sense unless you add dark matter to our calculations. So we have a lot of evidence that dark matter is a thing, that it's out there, that it clumps together in these big structures that shaped our whole universe. We just don't really know what it's made out of other than something that gives gravity.
Yeah, we know it's there and it has to be there to explain what we see. But I think that's the crazy thing is that we don't know what it is. Like we really have no idea. Like it could be a totally new kind of thing that's not even a particle or even something sort of like cohesive. It could be anything, right?
Yeah, and we've done a lot of podcast episodes diving into some of those examples. Sort of the mainstream idea is a WIMP, a weakly interacting massive particle. That's sort of like, you know, a generic idea, like what's the simplest possible explanation for dark matter? But there's lots of other more exotic and fascinating ideas, from things like axions, these weird heavy photons, to things like primordial black holes formed very, very early in the universe, to things like super duper long wave photons generated by dark stars. So we just don't really know what it is. And as you say, it might not even be a particle. It might be that this whole idea of particles and fields and quantum forces only applies to the little bit of the universe that we've been studying for the last few hundred years, and that you can't extrapolate to the rest of the universe the same way you can't like look at an elephant's tail and assume the rest of the elephant is like the tail. So it might be that we have dramatic, mind-blowing lessons to be learned about dark matter. Or it could be super boring and just be one particle that doesn't do anything.
Some pretty extreme possibilities there. But are you saying that maybe even quantum mechanics only applies to a small part of the universe?
I think that's true. Yeah. All of the tests that we've done of quantum mechanics use our kind of matter and our kind of forces. And so we have a pretty good quantum description of quantum particles, but we don't really have a quantum description of gravity. And gravity is our portal to dark matter. The only thing we know about dark matter is that it does feel gravity. And so it could be some other new weird kind of thing that generates gravity, but doesn't otherwise follow the rules of quantum mechanics.
Whoa. All right, so that's dark matter. Now, what would you say is a dark force, besides the obvious Star Wars reference?
A dark force would be anybody who tries to force me to eat white chocolate. That's a dark force in my life. No, a dark force would be in the assumption that dark matter is made of particles that follow the rules of quantum mechanics, like our particles, then you might imagine that they also feel some dark forces between them. You know, that two dark matter particles can exchange some like dark photon or dark Z boson or dark Higgs boson, that they can like push or pull on each other. They can do more than just feel each other's gravity. Maybe there's some additional dark forces and they're passing particles back and forth as a way to mediate those forces.
Right, because even the matter in our universe is sort of selective about which forces it feels or which forces they give out, right? Like some particles in our type of matter only feel electromagnetic forces, or they don't feel the strong force and things like that, right?
That's exactly right. Neutrinos, for example, only feel the weak force. They ignore the strong force. They ignore electromagnetism. Electrons, they do feel electromagnetism and the weak force, but they ignore the strong force. Only the quarks feel all of the forces, including the strong force. And so for an individual particle, you can ask like whether it has a charge for that force. So electromagnetism only interacts with particles that have electric charges, for example. We know that dark matter doesn't have electric charges, and it doesn't have weak charges, or it doesn't have strong charges, but it might have charges for other forces we haven't yet discovered.
Wow, like there could be a whole different category of forces that we just don't happen to feel in our kind of matter, but that maybe dark matter does feel.
Exactly. So there could be like one or 40 new forces that we haven't yet discovered because our particles don't feel those.
Or maybe more, not just 40.
Maybe 4,000, exactly.
All right, well, let's dig into what this new kind of force might be, this dark force, and what it could all mean, and whether or not we can ever hope to see it or feel it. But first, let's take a quick break.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The financial universe out there can seem like a vast place full of scary mysteries and exciting possibilities, but it can also be overwhelming to navigate, especially when you're first starting out in life. It feels sometimes like just one wrong turn could send you hurtling endlessly towards a financial black hole. But don't worry, you don't have to navigate the financial universe on your own. With the right tools, you can master the financial universe and chart your course with confidence. Intuit helps you navigate the financial universe through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Right, we're talking about dark radiation. And in this case, the word radiation sort of is associated with the word force. So really, we're asking, does dark matter feel dark forces that maybe are out there, but that we in our kind of matter can't feel or touch or detect, but that maybe is maybe organizing dark matter into structures, or maybe, you know, even making dark matter particles in atoms?
Exactly. And it's part of this imagination game we play. You know, we wonder what's going on out there in the dark universe. Is it simple? Is it fascinating? Is it complex? What is going on? What is there out there to learn? And usually when we go out and explore the universe, we find that things are crazier and more fascinating and richer than we ever imagined. And so we're at this point where we really don't know about most of the universe, but at some point in the future, I hope 100 years, 500 years from now, we will know what's going on in the dark sector. And those people will look back at our ideas as ridiculous, probably.
They might think of us as the dark ages of physics. They're like the really dark ages, not that the trial run in the Middle Ages, but more serious. Yes. Back when people ate white chocolate. Those savages.
That's right. Maybe we're looking forward to an age of dark enlightenment.
An age of oxymorons. But yeah, so in our kind of matter, we feel the electromagnetic force, which is what basically holds our atoms together. And what, you know, when you touch something, when you touch the table or you hold a banana, that's the force you're feeling. And that force is transmitted by a particle called the photon. So the photon is not just light, it's also what transmits the electromagnetic force. And so the question, Daniel, I guess, is does dark matter have the equivalent of a photon or at least an electromagnetic force field?
We just don't know. And so we're playing this game of trying to extrapolate from what we do know. And in the same way that we imagine maybe dark matter is made of a particle, because we're made of particles, we wonder if there are dark forces that look like our forces. And so one of the simplest forces to understand is electromagnetism, because it just has like one particle and it interacts with lots of stuff. And so a simple proposal is to say, well, what if dark matter has a dark electromagnetism, meaning a dark photon? This would be a particle that has a lot of properties similar to our photon, but it would be different. You know, those dark matter particles would have like a dark electric charge, and the dark photon would only interact with particles with a dark electric charge, not ones with our electric charge. And our normal vanilla photons wouldn't interact with dark matter because they don't have an electric charge, only a dark electric charge.
But it wouldn't necessarily be the same or the sort of the analog of light, right? You're just saying like maybe it's a force, and let's call it the dark electromagnetic force.
It doesn't have to be, and it could be that dark matter feels forces that are more similar to like our weak force, or forces that are more similar to our strong force, or forces that are totally different from these forces and have other new weird capacities, right? Before we discovered the strong force, who could have imagined this crazy force, you know, where it gets stronger as things get further apart and it has like 8 different kinds of gluons pulling it together? It's bonkers. Nobody would have written that into the script. So it's possible that there are other kinds of forces. But if there is a dark force that's very similar to electromagnetism, then that dark photon would have properties very similar to our photon. because those properties come from the structure of the force.
Mm. All right. And also it makes for a cool name, dark photon. Because it kind of trips up your brain, right? Like how can a photon which transmits light be dark?
That's right, because it transmits dark light into dark eyeballs.
Oh, man. I feel like you should maybe just call it something different.
What would you call it? The darkon?
The invisible photon? I don't know. Darkon is good. But then what do you find another force?
Yeah, we'll have to be even more creative with our names. We'll just have, you know, a brainstorming session with lots of chocolate and we'll come up with something good.
and then who knows what you'll get out of it. Maybe a heart attack. All right. So dark matter might feel this new kind of or strange new kind of force, a dark force. So how would we ever detect it, Daniel? Could we ever hope to feel it or, you know it's there if we can't touch it or see it?
So in the end, this question is really asking what dark matter does to itself. You know, can we speculate about what's going on in the dark sector beyond these particles existing? Can they like touch each other, become sticky and do stuff? And so we have sort of two ways to probe this. The first category is sort of like indirect ways to look at it. And broadly speaking, we can tell that dark matter is doing things because of its gravity. And even though it's not a great way to study dark matter, we can use its gravitational effects to ask questions like, is it clumping? Is it interacting with itself? Because if it interacts with itself, it forms sort of different structures that have different gravity. So we can sort of ask questions about whether dark matter is feeling itself by trying to look to see how it organizes itself in the universe.
I see. We can't maybe see it directly or touch dark matter, but if we can somehow kind of know what it's doing, and if we see it doing stuff to itself, then we know that there must be some kind of force that it does interact with.
Exactly. For example, if dark matter felt a version of the strong force, if it interacted with itself very, very strongly and could like clump together in very, very sticky ways, then it would form much denser objects than we see currently in the universe. Currently, dark matter looks really big and fluffy. Like the dark matter in our galaxy isn't nearly as compact as the normal matter in our galaxy. It spreads out much further out. It's a big fluffy cloud. It hasn't collapsed nearly as much. And we think that's because it's not as sticky as our matter. We think that it doesn't feel like a super powerful force that sticks it together, because that would help it like form denser objects like dark planets and dark stars. So we already know very broadly something about how dark matter can't feel itself because it stays sort of fluffy and doesn't seem to clump as much as normal matter.
Right. But I wonder, you know, it sort of looks fluffy to us because we don't have a good way of seeing it. You know, we talked earlier about we kind of have a fuzzy lens when we look at dark matter because we can only see it through gravity. You know, is it maybe even possible that there are dark matter stars out there? We just don't have the resolution to see them, you know?
Absolutely. There's a very big loophole in this argument that you allude to, which is that we can see sort of the bulk of dark matter, but we can't tell what it's doing in detail. We had an episode recently about where is the dark matter? And we talked about how we can tell sort of that dark matter is in these big fluffy clouds, but we also can't really tell if it is forming clumps. So you could imagine that dark matter, maybe it's made out of a few different kinds of things. So most of it, maybe like, you know, half of the dark matter or 3/4 of the dark matter is some big fluffy stuff that hardly interacts with itself. But there could be a component of the dark matter that does do interesting, complicated things and has crazy interactions and forms dark stars and dark planets and dark life. And that would not mess up the distribution of dark matter. Because remember, there's like so much dark matter out there that even like, if a quarter of it does more interesting stuff, that's still more than all of our kind of matter. So there's plenty of room to have like a component that has complex interactions without messing up these constraints about the big picture of dark matter.
So I feel like dark matter could be in the shape of, I don't know, like rubber duckies. It's just that they're sort of distributed out in space, these rubber duckies. And to us, it just seems like a big fluffy cloud.
Yeah, most of it has to be pretty big and fluffy. To form that big fluffy cloud, it can't stick to itself. But it could be that inside that big fluffy cloud, there are like rubber duckies made out of like a special kind of dark matter. You know, the way that like our matter, there's lots of different kinds. There's electrons, there's different kinds of quarks, right? We have 12 different matter particles. Dark matter could have like 50 different kinds of particles, and maybe most of them don't interact and make a big fluffy cloud, but one or two of them form dark rubber duckies that are floating out there in the universe. And we couldn't tell the difference because the only way we can see them is through their overall gravitational interaction.
I'm pretty sure that's what Darth Vader uses in his bathtub. But I guess the question is, you know, isn't the fact that dark matter does seem to be sort of fluffy and doesn't seem to stick to itself, is that evidence that maybe it doesn't interact with itself? other than with gravity?
It's evidence that it doesn't interact with itself very, very strongly. But again, the loophole is that some component of it might be able to. Now, the way to probe that a little bit more deeply is to do experiments, is to take like two big clouds of dark matter and throw them against each other and see if they pass right through each other, or if maybe they stick together and make some like dark explosions. That kind of experiment is pretty tough to do, but we were lucky and the universe did it for us. It collided two huge clusters of galaxies, each of which have their own dark matter associated with them, smashed them together millions of years ago, and we got to see what happened.
And what did happen?
And so this is called the Bullet Cluster, and you can go out and look at these pictures online if you're interested. It's really beautiful. What happened is that the stars in these galaxy clusters mostly pass through themselves because stars are pretty sparse. So it's like two clouds of sand passing through each other. The gas and the dust that were in these galaxies smashed together and emitted a lot of light and radiation. But the dark matter, it looks like it basically passed right through itself. You might ask, well, like, how could we know where the dark matter is? We can see the dark matter because it distorts the stuff behind it. Remember, the dark matter is matter. It feels gravity, so it bends space a little bit, which creates like gravitational distortions in the light that passes through it. So from this bullet cluster, it looks like these two clouds mostly passed right through each other.
So it doesn't have any strong interactions with itself, but it could still have some interactions with itself, which would maybe give rise to something like a dark photon.
That's right. And so people often cite the bullet cluster as evidence that dark matter can't feel anything with itself. And that's not exactly true, because as you say, there's still room in there for some kind of interaction. Because remember that the stars, which do definitely feel each other, also passed right through themselves, right? The stars hardly collided. And that's just because it's pretty sparse. And so it could be that dark matter forms these structures, but they didn't collide with each other because just like the stars, they're pretty sparse and space is pretty big. And it could also be that some component of the dark matter did collide with itself and did get stuck sort of in the middle there, but we don't really have the resolution to tell. We can't very precisely measure how much dark matter passed through and how much stuck. We can just tell that a lot of it passed through, but some component could have gotten stuck and could be doing like crazy stuff there in the middle.
I see. Like maybe the rubber duckies didn't all crash into each other, but some just kept going.
I think the key point to understand is that there's so much dark matter out there that even if a tiny fraction of it is doing interesting things, we couldn't tell. And that tiny fraction would still be more stuff than all of the stars and gas and dust in the universe that we know.
All right, well, let's get into other ways that we might be able to detect this dark radiation and maybe even see these dark or not see these dark photons. I'm a little confused about how you might see a not photon. But first, let's take another quick break.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The financial universe out there can seem like a vast place full of scary mysteries and exciting possibilities, but it can also be overwhelming to navigate, especially when you're first starting out in life. It feels sometimes like just one wrong turn could send you hurtling endlessly towards a financial black hole. But don't worry, you don't have to navigate the financial universe on your own. With the right tools, you can master the financial universe and chart your course with confidence. Intuit helps you navigate the financial universe through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Physicists are famously sticklers for detail. And when it comes to the fine print contracts and hidden fees from wireless providers, I've learned that there's always a catch somewhere. So when I heard that the Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, where's the catch? But now I'm convinced there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, so they cut out the cost of retail stores and they pass all those savings directly to you. Personally, I love using Mint Mobile. The calls are always crystal clear. So you can say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/universe. That's mintmobile.com/universe. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/universe. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right, we're talking about dark radiation and dark photons, which it might be what dark matter sees and feels with itself. When dark matter looks in the mirror, that's what they would see, dark photons.
Yeah, exactly. I hope they haven't been eating too much dark chocolate.
But to us, it's pretty elusive because we can't see or feel the dark matter or maybe even these forces. So Daniel, what are some of the other ways that we might hope to detect whether or not dark matter has these dark interactions?
There are a couple other indirect ways, basically, again, using gravity. One of them is looking at neutron stars. Neutron stars are these crazy dense objects that are the remnants of stars that have blown up and left this very, very compact core. And sometimes neutron stars come in pairs, and then those pairs spin around each other in this sort of like death spiral before they collide. And when they do that, they create gravitational waves that we can see here from Earth. This is like the shaking of space itself. And if you're interested in learning more about that, we have a couple of episodes about gravitational waves. It's really cool because the gravitational waves reveal in detail how these stars are spiraling towards the center, how they're losing energy. And we can calculate with great precision how fast they should be going and how much energy they're losing. And so this is a really nice test of sort of like what's going on with this kind of matter, because if these neutron stars were capable, for example, of feeling this dark radiation at some level, if the particles in there could feel this force at all, then they would radiate a little bit of those dark photons and it would change the way this in-spiral happens. And we would be able to see that by looking at the gravitational waves.
Wait, so these neutron stars would be made out of regular matter, the kind we're made out of, but you're saying that even though it's regular matter, it might emit this dark radiation. How is that possible?
It might be that our matter can feel these sort of like new forces just at a very, very low level. We don't know. And so this is like, you know, one way to look for it under the assumption that our kind of matter could feel these dark forces, which is not something that we know. It's just sort of like a guess. We do this in physics a lot. We're like, we don't know if it's possible to see it this way, but let's check, because if it does feel this force, if neutron stars can make these dark photons, we would be able to see that.
I see. And neutron stars are so, it's such an extreme event when they crash into each other that that's one possible, you know, crazy scenario where it might make dark radiation.
Exactly. And it's a place where we can make very, very precise calculations about the gravitational waves and compare them to very, very detailed data. So it's an opportunity to look for like very small deviations, you know, things that the neutron stars are doing that we can't otherwise explain that might be explainable through dark photons.
I see. All right, what are some other ways we could maybe feel this dark force?
All the most generic ways, you just use gravity, the kind of test that we did before. But there are some other approaches to look for these dark photons, hoping that there's some connection between our kind of matter and the dark matter. Like hoping that somehow maybe these dark photons can turn into normal photons very, very rarely. And then we could detect that.
What? How can a dark photon turn into a regular photon?
It turns out that if you have another kind of force that's very similar to the photon, has sort of like a similar mathematical structure, that these forces like to talk to each other. That there's like, it's very easy to build a physics model in which another kind of photon can turn into our photon.
Whoa, like out spontaneously or only in like high energy collisions or, you know, moments where you have kind of this state of pure energy?
It would be spontaneous. And in order for that to happen, there would have to be some kind of particle in the universe that has both kinds of charges. So imagine some new kind of very, very rare dark matter that does have electric charges and also has some new kind of dark electric charge. That particle could effectively be like a portal that connects our photons to these other photons. And it might be that these particles never really exist in the universe, the way like top quarks almost never exist in the universe on their own. But they're sort of like on the list of possibilities. As long as it's on the list of possibilities, then dark photons can use that as a portal to become normal photons and vice versa. This allows them to spontaneously turn from one into the other.
Whoa, so that would make dark matter not dark, right? It would mean that you can sort of see them.
It would, but these particles, again, wouldn't actually have to exist in the universe. So imagine now the dark sector is some kind of particle that's actually out there, that most of the dark matter is made out of this particle. And then there's the possibility for this other particle that has electric charges and dark charges, even though it's never really out there in the universe. As long as the possibility for it to exist is part of sort of nature's menu, that possibility allows dark photons to turn into photons. It's called kinetic mixing.
Because we see it happening with regular matter, right? Like our photons turn into other kinds of stuff all the time.
Yes, exactly. Like photons turn into pairs of particles, electrons and positrons. And then those can turn into Z bosons, right? Because Zs also interact with electrons and positrons. So even if there weren't a single electron or positron in the universe, a photon could still turn into a Z boson. And in the same way, as long as there's the possibility for some virtual particle that connects these two forces to exist, then photons could turn into dark photons and vice versa.
Wow. And that's kind of our only hope of seeing this dark force directly?
That's the best way to see these dark forces directly. Exactly. And so people have built really cool experiments to try to like make this happen more often, to try to like create the scenarios that would help induce dark photons to spontaneously turn into photons. They have these resonant cavities at Fermilab, for example, that should enhance the rate of this happening. If you like build something with the right shape and size, it creates a situation where this kind of spontaneous transformation is more likely to happen. And so they look for this kind of signature.
Whoa, wait, that's being built right now? Like there are people building basically dark force boxes.
These things exist already and they are being run and they're just building them bigger and bigger. It's sort of like the way people are looking for dark matter. They look in these containers underground and they started with small ones and now they're making bigger and bigger and bigger ones. Nobody's seen a dark photon yet, but they're hoping as they make these cavities more precise and larger to induce a dark photon to turn into a normal photon.
Wow, cool. And how else can you look for these?
Another way to look for these is to look for particles appearing where they shouldn't be. So one of my favorite kind of experiments, it's called a beam dump experiment, where you take a particle beam you were using for something else and you dump it, meaning you just like shoot it into a huge block of concrete or into a mountainside, just because, you know, it's got to go somewhere. You don't want to like spray it over the neighborhood because it's dangerous.
Right. Just shoot it through the earth at people on the other side of the earth. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And so shoot it into a mountain.
Who's
and
on the other side of Geneva, Daniel? It's not California, is it?
I'm going to have to look that up. But if you shoot this particle beam into a mountain, for example, and then you put a particle detector on the other side of the mountain, none of the particles should make it through the mountain. But you might see particles appearing in your detector on the other side of the mountain because dark photons might make it through the mountain because they basically see the mountain as invisible, as transparent. The idea is if your beam sometimes occasionally produces dark photons, those dark photons would make it through the mountain. And so essentially it's like looking for light shining through walls.
Oh, I see. So maybe the idea is that you send this beam out into the mountain, some of it turns into dark photons, and then somehow it turns back into regular photons before it hits your detector?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you're hoping that sometimes those dark photons turn back into normal photons. So you're assuming a lot of things here. You're assuming that maybe sometimes dark photons are created in your beam and that sometimes they turn back into normal photons.
Right, but if they turn back into regular photons, how would you know they turn into dark photons in the middle?
Yeah, you wouldn't know for sure. You would just know that something passed through the mountain that typically shouldn't be able to. So you calculate like how often should particles be able to pass through the mountain and turn into photons. And if that happens more often than you expect, then you know there's something else new there. Maybe a dark photon, maybe something else. But you know, that's often the case with particle physics. We find something new, we're not exactly sure what it is, and then we study it in detail and we try to characterize exactly what it is. Just like with the Higgs boson. First thing we saw is some new particle decaying into two photons. And we weren't sure, is this the Higgs boson or is it something else we didn't expect? And over decades of study, we sort of pinned down what it must be because of all of its behaviors.
I see. It's like the only way it could have made it through the mountain to and out into California to hit us, it was if it turned into something invisible like dark photons somewhere in the middle. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made it through.
Exactly. It would have to phase through the mountain by turning into something that doesn't interact with mountains.
All right, cool. Well, what are some other ways we might be able to see these dark forces?
A lot of the other experiments are very similar. There's one at CERN called FASER, Forward Search Experiment. It's a pretty tortured acronym, but a really cool idea for an experiment.
I don't even know. Is there an A actually in the name?
There's an A in forward and an R in experiment.
Oh, man.
It's a really cool idea because they're taking an already existing experiment, ATLAS, where we collide protons together, and they're wondering, like, maybe dark photons are created and shoot down the beam. So they built a detector, like, really far down along the beam, past where the collisions happen, to see if maybe dark photons are created in those collisions and then fly along the beam and then turn into something that they can see sort of downstream. So they added this little bit to the detector that can do something totally novel and new. It's actually led by a team here at UC Irvine.
I see. But we don't actually know if dark matter can switch back and forth that easily, right?
We don't know. And again, it could be that dark matter is only some inert particle that feels gravity and nothing else, and there are no dark forces and no way to interact. It could also be that dark matter does feel some new dark force, but can only interact with itself, and none of those dark forces can ever turn into normal matter or normal photons. Here, we're just guessing. We're trying to like study the various possibilities and the various ways that those possibilities might manifest.
Wow. Well, and so what does it all mean? Do you think we will find it has interactions with itself? Or do you think it just represents this whole part of the universe that we'll never be able to see or touch? Or even confirm that it's there, you know? Like we could be swimming in dark rubber duckies and never, ever, ever know it.
Yeah, part of it comes down to what you think is more natural. Does it make sense to you to have a huge component of the universe be sort of simple and inert and not really doing anything interesting? Or does it seem more natural for it to be complex and interactive the way that our matter is? You know, what I know is that the universe doesn't follow what we think is natural. Our conceptions of how the universe should work don't seem to be very well aligned with how it usually does work. And so I suspect there are some surprises out there. The other side of that question is what you asked is, might we ever be able to tell? And it could be that dark matter doesn't feel any of our forces and none of these forces can talk to our forces and we can never find these dark rubber duckies. But I have faith in physicists and in engineers to come up with clever ways to probe these things, ways that we can't even today imagine, kinds of experiments that people might think of in 10 years or 20 years. Experiments thought up by, you know, clever listeners to this podcast who aren't constrained by the kind of thinking that academic physicists have been trained to do.
I think I know how you can do it, Daniel.
Dark chocolate collisions?
You just got to want it enough, you know? You have to really want it because as Yoda says, you know, wanting leads to pain and pain leads to suffering and suffering leads to the dark side. And so that's how you can get there faster, maybe.
Yeah, there is no try. I should just do it.
That's right. Just do it. do it you should, yes.
All right. I don't know why I didn't think of that before. I'm just going to go do it right after we're done with this podcast.
Or not do it, I guess. Or do it in the dark? I'm so confused.
But to me, it really touches on these deep mysteries of physics that we know the universe out there is telling stories that we haven't heard yet. We're desperate to hear those stories. We have hints that we know the shape of those stories, but we don't know any of the details yet. And we just hope that one day we'll be able to fill those in.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a whole universe out there sitting right in front of us that we have yet to discover. And that anyone listening to this could become part of that search.
That's right. So there's plenty more of the universe to find out, and we desperately need new ideas.
And whether the universe counts as dark chocolate or not, that's for other people to debate.
That's right. And if you love white chocolate, take my apologies. I love all of them.
That's right. You love listeners more than you love your chocolate.
That's right. Exactly. And if you eat white chocolate while listening to this podcast, I forgive you.
Because he can't see or feel you, so it doesn't matter to him.
That's right. Exactly. Please accept my dark apologies.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, and remember that Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.